Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. 30 minutes left in the show, and it's time to head to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are now joined by Andrew Allegretta, the voice of Vanderbilt football, for his weekly visit to the program. Andrew, thanks for coming on. Excited for the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm excited for you on Saturday too, Jake.
Yes, yes, I will be roaming the sidelines on Saturday at First Bank Stadium for the first time. So, outside of a spring game, first time in a real game, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We're going to miss Kevin. It's unfortunate. Basketball and football started exactly the same time on Saturday, which is a bummer for us in black and gold world. But we're happy to have you on the sideline for sure.
Yes, will be fun. Kevin down there in Orlando as the Vandy men's basketball team takes on UCF. Same exact time, 3:00 for both football and men's basketball. Andrew, last weekend in Texas, slow start for Vanderbilt, nearly stormed all the way back a couple inches on that sideline away from recovering an onside kick with a chance to go tie or win the game. What's the feeling been around this program this week, knowing that, hey, everything you want to accomplish is still out in front of you, but obviously feel like they had an opportunity to come back and win that game?
Yeah, I think the early part of the week was probably defined by a sense of frustration, feeling like they didn't do what they were supposed to do in that game versus Texas. I mean, I think you have to give Texas a ton of credit. That's two consecutive years where it's been a difficult matchup for Vanderbilt. Each one of them are 3-point losses, and I think Vanderbilt deserved that final score, but I think anybody that watched either one of the two games recognized that it took a Vanderbilt comeback at the end to kind of create those. It's just a matchup where Texas has a ton of athleticism on the outside, and Steve Sarkisian did a great job, basically said, I'm going to get the ball quickly to those guys, and we're going to challenge you to try to make plays in space, and Texas won those plays. So give credit to Texas on both of those games, but you know, they were frustrated, I think, early part of the week. I'm sure as the week has progressed, it's kind of morphed from frustration into focus and recognizing that, you know, good and great teams don't let one loss beat you twice. It beats you once and you make the mistakes and you fix them and you come back and you win the next week.
When you look at this Auburn team coming in, obviously made a coaching change this past week on Sunday. So sadly, Diego Pavia doesn't get a chance to go to 4-0 against Hugh Freeze. But I'm sure there's some confidence for this team after what they were able to do down on the plains last year, holding that Auburn team to 7 points and getting a win to clinch bowl eligibility, that they should be able to handle business with the Tigers coming to Nashville this week.
You know, I have come to this realization that all of the sports psychology stuff that we talk about matters only in the ability for the players to take it and use it for execution, right? Like if Vanderbilt is confident and focused and uses it to execute the right way, then they win the game. If they're overconfident and they don't use it to execute the right way, then they don't win the game. Or if Auburn gets the interim bump and they use that to focus and execute the right way, then they play well. If the interim bump doesn't really do anything for their focus and execution, then they... So all of that is to say, yes, I think Vanderbilt should come into this game with plenty of confidence. Like Clark Lee told the media and told the team about what the season does to you, the fatigue, kind of the haze of it. You can lose yourself in the season. And what are they going to do sitting 3 games left in the season to finish the job that they started all the way back in January? And one of the things he said is, what are we going to do to rise above the frustration of one loss? And I think you kind of have to step back and go, we're 7-2. We're 16th in the college football playoff rankings. If we take care of our business, we're going to be right there in the mix at the end of this thing for a spot in the college football playoffs. We took care of business after a loss to Alabama versus LSU with one of our better games of the season. And Diego Pavia in the follow-up to Alabama was the SEC Offensive Player of the Week versus the Tigers. They went back-to-back versus the Tigers. They went on the road and punched two teams right in the teeth in Tech and South Carolina. So like, you can get lost in the malaise of the season, but if you kind of rise above it, you should have some confidence, I think, that you can step into this game versus Auburn, regardless of their wins and loss record, regardless of their coach situation, and feel confident about what you've done anyway.
Andrew, that led me right into what I wanted to ask you in regards to this season, right? So you got Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee. Let's say they do handle their business, as you mentioned, and don't go to the playoffs. Is this program at a point where that's considered a disappointing season, or is this one where you say, okay, look, we came in with high hopes, finished, you know, 10-2, let's build on it for the future?
I would say TD. Let's get there first.
Yeah. Not to get too ahead of myself, but you know, I'm just curious at this point, like fresh off of that loss, like how you think they're looking at this season?
I think it's amazing how expectations morph throughout the course of a season, and that's okay. I think Clark would invite that. I think one of the things that he has been really guarded about within the program, understanding the history as he does, is being comfortable with whatever next step up the ladder that they get to, or kind of that dreaded word of mediocrity. I think he was pleased last year with 7-6. That's a huge step forward, but I don't think he's going to sit there and be comfortable with that. If the season finishes, you know, it's 7-2. If it finishes 7-5, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2, I don't think he's going to sit there and be comfortable just for the sake of it, is my feeling. I think Clark is someone that is deeply passionate about executing at the highest level all of the time. He says every single day, the mission is winning. And you can take that to its logical conclusion. I mean, they don't shy away from putting, you know, national championship or SEC championship on the walls around the football facility. So all of that is to say, TD, like, I don't know. I think everyone's going to have their own internal feelings about wherever the season finishes and what is deemed a success and or failure. I look at it a little bit through Clark's eyes, which is the mission is winning. So I think regardless of if he sees progress or feels like there was a misstep, or, you know, he was frustrated with November last year. There's no doubt. Like, they were, what were they? They were 6-2? Were they? No, they were 6-3. And then lost the three last games. He was frustrated with November. So, you know, I kind of look at it through Clark's eyes, and whatever they get to, he's going to say, I'm proud of this, but here's where we can advance the ball forward.
Another forward thinking question, right? You look at Clark Lee, and I mean, we've seen this movie before, right? Where a guy goes to a program, turns it around, and parlays that into a bigger job. You look at Matt Rhule. Like, I remember watching that firsthand, him go to Temple and turn it around. They had back-to-back 10-win seasons. Game day was at Temple University, of all places, and then he got the Baylor job. Do you see Clark Lee being firmly entrenched here in the Vandy program and being, that's it?
I respect the heck out of that question. I respect it.
You
got to
don't hit me with a Drew Rosenhaus, man. Don't hit me with the next question.
No, I'm not going to hit you with the next question.
All right.
I respect the heck out of it. I understand where, from a fan base, the anxiety sits. You know,
right.
I talked with Candace at halftime, our athletic director of the Texas game, and, you know, she told me what she said on the record a couple of different times, which is that Vanderbilt University is committed to making Clark Lee a part of Vanderbilt athletics for a long time. Outside of a sentence like that, I have no ability to go much further. Not because I do know or I don't know, or I can project or I can't project. I mean, I think there's a very tight circle of people that are working through whatever they're working through at that moment. And those are the people to comment on this. You know, I will tell you from my own personal experience, it's been a joy working with Clark. It's been a joy working with Candace. Obviously, we have seen the fruits of a lot of people's labor that doesn't just go back over the past 12 months. It goes back to 2020 from, you know, the domino getting pushed by Chancellor Diermeier, the alignment between Diermeier, Candace, and Clark. What happens into the future? You gotta knock down the walls of the inner circle and talk to those folks, I think.
Yeah, and of course, I'm not saying it like as if, okay, whatever you say, the opposite happens, and I'm going to come back and live. Man, you were wrong. No, I'm not saying. I was just trying to get your feel as a person who's around the program.
I think he cares a lot about the program, right? Like, I know he cares a lot about the program.
Right.
I think everybody knows he cares a lot about the program. The I all of my brain for a lot of, like, and this is a little bit to what Jake was asking, and they should have success because they beat Auburn before. My brain goes to the whole, like, anytime you see, like, an investment firm of, like, past results aren't indicative of future earnings.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you hear that line all of the time at the end of, like, an investment firm's commercial. Just because we sit here with one thing doesn't guarantee the next.
Absolutely.
Into the future.
Yeah.
I know he cares about the program. That is clear every day that you go to practice. And I believe wholeheartedly that Candace wants Clark Lea to be a part of this program moving forward. That's what she told us on the air with Texas. But how that advances into the future, again, you got a finite number of people that can really speak to that.
Talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Before we let you get out of here, Andrew, I wanted to highlight Eli Stowers. What a game he had on Saturday against Texas. And I look back to the Missouri game, the leaping catch that he made in the red zone. Somehow it still feels like he's underrated despite being a possible first-round pick in the NFL draft. How have you seen him become such an impact player for this team, especially with the connection that he has with Diego Pavia?
I mean, that's probably the place that you start first and foremost. I love the makeup of everything with, you know, I've used the phrase that Pavia is kind of the conduit for Clark Lea to the locker room. Like, Clark has the emotion and the passion for this program and the confidence for this program. And Pavia kind of takes that and injects it into the locker room. And I think Eli is this wonderful kind of rounding out of Pavia's personality. I think that's the first place to start. I think he does so many different things on the field, and I would probably ask Tim Beck the same question about how to get into the nitty-gritty of what he does beyond just the statistics. I mean, he's got four career 100-yard performances for Vanderbilt, two of them against great SEC teams in Alabama and Texas. I think he is Vanderbilt's. I haven't double-checked lately. I assume he's Vanderbilt's leading receiver. He's got double-digit, you know, career touchdown receptions. This is a guy that's about to step into a game, Jake, where on the other sideline is Jackson Arnold, the guy that replaced him at quarterback in a state championship game in high school. Like, right? Like, he was a quarterback for a long time. Eli would tell you himself, tight end is still relatively new for him. And I suspect if you talk to his position coaches and Beck, you'd get a story about a hard worker, someone that does the other stuff, blocking when it's required. He's going to absorb so much of the scouting report. So he's going to have to work a little bit harder to get open. He's not going to surprise anybody, with the exception of that 60-something yard touchdown reception, which Norm made a good point. It's like you're so used to Eli going 5 or 10 yards downfield. All of a sudden he hits you 30 and you're shocked. Most of the time he's not going to surprise you. It's a grounded young man who works really hard. He is a lot of what you would ask of from a student athlete, a football player, a professional, whatever it is. So I'm really happy for him that he found that success. And, you know, Clark said on Monday, like, we're going to have to rely on Eli offensively. We need to get the football to Seti to run the football, MTA to run the football, and Eli Stowers to catch it. Those Diego Pavia, Seti, and Eli Stowers are probably going to make this offense go in bulk with a lot of help from an MT or a Junior Sherrill or Richie Hoskins or whoever it happens to be. So he's a big part of what we're doing in the next three games.
Andrew, as always, appreciate you taking the time to come on. Looking forward to Saturday.
Look forward to Saturday too, Jake. Thanks, guys.
Take care, man.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Always great to talk with Andrew. Vanderbilt and Auburn coming up on Saturday. That is a 3 o'clock kick, a 1:30 pregame on 94.9 The Fan. We'll take one final break. We'll react to what Andrew had to say and wrap up the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.